Well, you want to turn with me? We can go to Mark 4, verse 1. Mark 4, verse 1. It says that again he began to teach by the sea, that's Jesus, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his teaching, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root in it, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 10, "But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing that they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them.'" And then verse 13, it says, "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and when they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So the different categories, notice the word of God was sown. This is the seed represents the word of God. And the word of God was sown on these different grounds, represent different types of hearts. And notice the word of God only produced on one type of ground. So the word of God was choked or was unfruitful in some people's hearts, or by in the parable, the seed was sown, but it only produced in one type of ground. The word of God is incorruptible, but it can still not produce in somebody's heart. It's still possible. In other words, it's not automatic. And so we went through the four types. The ones that were sown by the wayside, immediately they were stolen. Immediately they're picked up. It was hardened. The ground wasn't hard. So the seed never took root. Immediately the birds got it. And so that's like the word of God that's sown, and something distracts somebody, the people don't receive, and immediately it's gone. It's never going to produce anything because it never got in the ground. And then the stony places, notice those people. If we go down, let's go down and actually bring those things up. So go down to 15. Verse 15, we'll read that. It says, "These are the ones sown by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." So those are the ones we just talked about. Verse 16, "These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with gladness. and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time afterward when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they stumble. So these people actually got the word. They did receive it because they received it with gladness and they were happy about it. And evidently did some. I mean, they received it to some degree. But as soon as there is pressure, verse 17, they had no root in themselves and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So they received it. They heard the word of God. They did receive it to some degree, and they got excited about it. You know, it doesn't matter how excited you get. If you get excited for 3 weeks about the word of God, and you just are all in, and you're reading your Bible all the time, and you're excited, and you're telling everybody about it, but then you drop out after 3 weeks, it's basically as good as if you had never received it. In other words, just a big, you know, like we're talking about, we're going to burn a Christmas tree, you know, at the social, it's going to make a big flame, and then it's going to be gone. Some people are like that. They get super excited and they think they're lapping everybody. They're all excited, like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm taking this seriously. And then you look in a little bit and they're gone. I guess you could say it maybe helped a little bit, but doesn't help a lot. Verse 18, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. So they heard it. They heard what God said. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it became unfruitful. So these people, they heard it, this type of heart, they heard it, they received it, but the word got choked out by other things. Other things, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering, and they choked the word. So the word of God, incorruptible word of God, was choked by other things because this type of heart, they let other things in. And so the word of God, even though it's perfect, even though it's incorruptible, it still needs the right ground to produce, which is our heart. And then verse 20, these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word accept it and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. So these are the ones that actually bore fruit. The other ones, they heard the word of God and they didn't bear any fruit. That means nothing came to completion. Nothing was mature. There was no lasting results in their life. In the other ones, only in the area where, in this fourth area, where they received the word and it was sown on good ground. In Matthew 13:8, just another version, another account of this, but in the NLT, it says, still other seeds fell on fertile soil. They produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. So fertile soil. Liken it to a fertile heart. The definition of fertile is producing or bearing many crops in great quantities or productive, capable of sustaining abundant plant growth, affording abundant possibilities for growth or development, capable of growing or developing. That's just the definition of fertile. You can see it's just capable of growth, potential for growth. These other areas that, you know, if it's hardened soil, it's like there's no potential for growth there. And immediately the seed was gone. The word was gone. When somebody's heart is like that, the word comes. As powerful as the word is, it's just like it bounces off and that's it. There's no potential for growth. These other areas, the stony ground got choked out. There wasn't a lot of potential for growth. It was a little bit, but not a lot. It wasn't fertile. You know, the other ground where it got choked out, There was ground there, but everything, the thistles, they choked out the word. So there was some potential again for growth, but not a lot. But the last category where they actually bore fruit, the differentiating factor was the ground. which represents the heart. So our heart is what determines what God does in our life. So here's the thing. God is not in control of everything that happens in our life. Well, it doesn't matter. God's going to make it right. That's not true. His word comes into our life, and what we do with it, the condition of our heart's going to determine how much his word produces in our life. It's not him. Now, he will bless his word. He's going to help us. But do you see that his word is to the person that rejects Jesus outright, rejects the word of God, that first category? His grace and his word is to that person just as much as the one that has fertile soil. It's just that the heart's different. So as much as God wants to do something, he can't. I didn't say he wouldn't. He can't. Why? Because in his sovereignty, he limited himself and gave people a free will. He gave them a free will. He gave us a free will. So we actually determine what God can do in our life. And he wants to do so. But if we're handcuffing and say, well, I know I'm going to reject that, but God, come in. That is the way he comes in. His word comes, and then we are in control of our heart. There's some things you and I can't control. I'd say there's a lot of things you and I can't control. But one thing we can control is we can control our heart. We determine the condition of our heart. We determine what we're going to do with the Word of God. We determine what our attitude is and how we're going to respond. That word, when it says good ground, that word, just the Greek word, the good, it means proper, it means beautiful, good, valuable, virtuous. It's translated in the original, like in the King James, better, fair, good, honest, well, worthy. So it brings with the idea of an honest heart, honest, virtuous. And so we have, that's something we can control. Now let's look at another account of this in Luke 8. We're just going to read the explanation of the parable. Luke 8, verse 11. Luke 8, 11. It says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word of God with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation fall away. Now the ones who that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring fruit, no fruit, to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are the ones who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So see the way that says that there. They heard, the ones that bore fruit, they heard the word with a noble and good heart, and they keep it and bear fruit with patience. So they had a good heart, they had a noble heart, and they were patient. Crops don't spring up overnight. In the CEV, we're going to read several versions of this in verse 15. Luke 8:15 in the CEV, it says, these seeds that fell on good ground are the people who listen to the message and keep it in good and honest hearts. They last and produce a harvest. In the NIV, it says, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. In the NLT, it says the seeds that fell on good soil represent honest, good-hearted people who hear God's word, cling to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. In the Amplified, it says, "But as for that seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word and with a good and noble heart, and hold on to it tightly, and bear fruit with patience." So notice several things that it keeps coming out. They have a good heart, they receive it, and then they hold on to it. Because did you see the other ones, the initial ground, it was hard. It's like if you tried to put seed into this carpet. Number one, carpet is not the proper place for seed. It's not going to bear fruit. But neither is hard ground. It's not going to do anything. And you just as much as this carpet, the seed will not penetrate that. That's the same thing with a heart that is not receptive. It will it's the same thing. It's going to get taken away. It's not going to retain. And then the other two, when it's stony ground, it did retain a little bit, but notice as soon as there was pressure because of the word, they let go. So it didn't have time to bear fruit. They didn't hold. And then the other one, when it got sown, but these other things in life choked it out. So again, didn't retain it. Didn't hold on to it because other things pressed, there's pressure, so then let go. So the only way that it's actually going to bear fruit, this goes for every bit of God's truth in every part of our lives, for every person, is that we have the determination how we're going to receive. See, it's not somebody else. If it's hard, somebody's hard-hearted, it's on them. It's on us. We can determine this. Now, as it comes then, we determine which category we're going to fall into. We determine if we're going to release it. Notice it's saying, let's look at it in Amplified again here. It says, "But as for those for that seed in good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word with a good, noble heart." So they heard it with the right type of heart, but that's not all they did. It says they hold on to it tightly and bear fruit with patience. So they held, they received it with the right type of heart. They held on to it, and then they bore fruit with patience. So if you don't have one of those, if you don't have the right heart, you're in the other three categories. To a degree, if you don't hold on to it, again, that affects those other categories. And then if you're not patient, that the fruit does not have time to produce. Mm-hmm. That is the only way you're going to produce is with a good heart, holding on to the word, and then with patience. Sometimes we don't like that last part, with patience. We'd rather we just hear the word and then be like, wouldn't it be awesome if I could just preach the word and whatever I was preaching immediately, just your life transformed to line up with the word? You know how quickly we would be just mature? They just speak at each one of you, you know, every word that we speak, immediately it just changes. It would be worth our time just to stay here the rest of the night, just read through and just get us all matured. We could go in tomorrow, we're just there. Unfortunately, that's not the way it happens. We hear the word, then you have to walk it out, and you're going to get challenged because, you know, we read where you get challenges and then people release the word. That's where we're going to have an opportunity to either hold on to the word or release the word. As we hold on to the word, we can grow. If we release it, that's where we go backwards or we stay the same. It's the same for everybody. We all have this process happens in our life continually. As Christians, if we hear the word, we are having the opportunity for this to happen, and we're at different places of the word producing or not producing in our life based on what we do with it. This is just the way it works. That's what Jesus is explaining this. In the Amplified Classic, Luke 8:15, It says, but as for that seed in the good soil, these are the people who, hearing the word, hold it fast in a just, a noble, or virtuous, and worthy heart, and steadily bring forth fruit with patience. They steadily bring forth fruit with patience. So we receive with a good heart, but then we keep the condition of our heart the right so we can bear fruit, so we can stay there. Because we could receive in the right heart and then get hard, and then where we were sort of starting to produce, our heart gets hard and then we're not. So where we were doing well, now we're not. And then you're like, yeah, but I used to. That doesn't help now. We don't get credit or in the world. I mean, it doesn't produce anything of what we were doing before. It's what we're continually doing. So we have to continue on. We have to keep our heart. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 20. It says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. So you're going to have to, if we're going to keep our heart right, we're going to keep his word before our eyes. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. You know, back to the parable, I'm not a farmer, even though I'm from Nebraska. Not everybody in Nebraska is a farmer. I lived in the city, and so I don't have any experience with a lot of that. But we know generally, you don't just throw the seed out there and forget about it. It takes work to make it come to actually produce a crop. And so it's the same thing with the heart. If you're going to be in it the long haul and you're going to bear fruit with patience, then the soil is your heart. You got to maintain it. We have to do it. And it says in that last verse that we just read, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of it spring the everything that affects our life, so we've got to maintain it. We can't just be whimsical about it, because we're in danger then of having a different type of heart that's not going to produce. It doesn't matter that it's God's word. It doesn't matter that it's powerful, living, powerful, you know, quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. It doesn't matter, because our heart, our the soil of our heart needs to be right, and we need to maintain it. We've got to do something. As we're going through this life, we've got to be diligent about what we do with our heart. What we feed on and what we feed in our life, that's going to grow. And what we starve is going to die. So what we feed our heart, you know, so my heart isn't tender. Start feeding on the right things and it will become tender. Start feeding on the wrong things and it'll become hard. Mm-hmm. What we feed on is going to grow. What we starve, it will die. You say, well, this has just got a stronghold in my life. Something has a stronghold in your life, start starving it. Don't give it any attention. Don't look at it. Don't listen to it. Don't give it any time. And you say, well, it's hard. That's because it's strong, because you've been paying attention to it. But if you start giving the right thing attention, give the word of God, give the things of God attention, and starve the other thing, then what you're feeding is going to grow. It's the same in every area. It's natural, spiritual, it always works like this. If something is strong in our life, it's because we've fed it. And if we're strong spiritually, it's because we've fed ourselves spiritually. It doesn't just happen. And it doesn't just happen in this world, because we have all these distractions, all these things coming. And if we don't keep our heart, we feed on the wrong things, our heart's going to get in the wrong condition, and that affects every area of our life, because the Word of God has the ability to help us in every area, but if we don't keep our heart, we're not going to experience the benefits, even though it's God's will, even though it's His desire, and that's the potential of the Word. If we feed on the word of God, faith will come. If we look at the word of God, faith will be there. If we don't look at the word of God, faith won't be there. See, when we are feeding ourselves on the word of God, when we're listening to the word, we're actually feeding our spirit man, our the real us. So we have a body, we have a soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and we are a spirit. That's the real us. And that's what you're feeding. Just like food, natural food, is nourishment to our body, and your body can't live without food, your spirit man needs to be nourished by the word of God. So when we're feeding it, we're making it stronger. Now, as we feed on it, that will soften up our heart. If we're willing, if just giving attention to the word of God is a step towards a soft, good, noble heart. You're putting yourself, I'm putting myself in the position to hear, and that process itself, when we feel ourselves, if we feel ourselves getting hard, what we need to do is put ourselves in front of the word, put ourselves in the ability to hear the word. We are putting ourselves in the word of God is God speaking, and his spirit is going to quicken that word, and he can nourish us and get us to a place where maybe if we came to the word of God or came to a gathering like this hard, we can leave soft. And when sometimes you feel like you're getting harder and you don't want some, is exactly when you need to put yourself, that ought to be a red flag and go, oh, I absolutely need to put myself under that because I need to be immersed. I need to be saturated with the word so that I can see clearly. I can get back to where I need to be. And it's a process. It doesn't just happen once. Unfortunately, this is a lifelong thing. You stay on it. It's a little at a time. Let's look at let's jump down to Romans 10, and then we'll go back up to John. But Romans 10, because we just talked about that, so I want to just read it. Romans 10, 14. It says, How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? This is talking about Jesus. And it says, how can you call on him? How would somebody call on Jesus in who they haven't believed? If they haven't believed on Jesus, they're not going to call on him. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So if you haven't heard, you're not going to believe, so you're not going to call. How? And then it says, how shall they not hear without a preacher? In other words, somebody needs to say the word so that somebody can hear the word, so that they can believe the word, so then they can call on Jesus. Then it says, verse 15, how shall they preach unless they are sent? So God has sent us all into the world to preach the gospel, to declare the gospel, so that people can hear, and so that when they hear, they can believe, so that when they believe, they can call. But the next part says, as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring great glad tidings of good things. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, the word of God comes, then faith is there. But we have an opportunity on what we do with it. The word of God, if it'll be received, then faith is there. Then you can do something with it. But if you don't listen, you can't have faith. But faith comes by hearing. And so we want to put ourselves in a position to hear the word of God. We want to put ourselves in a position to read the word of God. Don't neglect reading the Bible. Don't think, I'll just listen to somebody talk about the Bible, or I'll read a book about the Bible. That's fine to read something that's the truth of the Bible, to bring it out. It's good, but you want to read the Bible for yourself. Take the time. If you're not reading the Bible, take 5 minutes and start. You know, we have a Bible reading program. Join up with that. But just read. Just start in the gospel. Start in Romans. Read a psalm. Put yourself in the position. You know what you're doing? Actually, those are God's words. You've actually, at that point, already taken a step of faith because you've put other stuff on the side, said, I am going to read the Bible. The Bible is not just a natural book. It is supernatural. It is God speaking. So you put yourself in front of that word. You put your mind, focus on what the word says. You listen. God is speaking to you through his word. At that point, you are putting yourself right before God and in the ability to affect the trajectory of your life. And so if we do that and we keep doing it, what we're doing is making space for God to help us. And as we do that, we are actually helping ourselves to receive more, because that softens. When you feel like you're too busy, if I feel like I'm too busy, if I feel like there's too much other stuff, and I can't just read the word right now, I got too much going on, that is exactly the time we need to read the Bible. That is exactly the time we need to slow down. It's always the time, but when you're feeling it over here is absolutely the time you need to slow down, because at that point, what you're in danger of, you're getting hard. Your heart is moving. The things that you would have said, no, I do this, no, I do this, no, I do this. You're like, nah, but other stuff. See, that's one of those danger places where you're getting hard or stuff's crowding out the word and all the issues of life spring from your heart. And so at that point, we're not being diligent about maintaining our heart. We're not being diligent about putting the word in. And at that point, the word cannot, even though it's the word of God, it's powerful. Faith comes by hearing. And if we don't put ourselves in a position to hear, our faith is going to start dwindling. You're going to get weaker because the world is this force. You know, Satan's the god of this world. God is God, but Satan is the one that's controlling a lot of the things in this earth. And so there's a movement. If we just go with the flow, we're going to be going in the wrong direction. Look at John 15, verse 1. This is just process. This is just life. If we'll just make it a priority that we are going to put ourselves in front of the word, and we are going to be one of the ones that has a receptive heart, a good heart, and we're going to maintain that. So we're going to do what we need to do to make sure we're maintaining that, and then we're holding on. The way you're going to maintain it, the way you're going to hold on, the way you're going to persevere is by doing these things and putting ourselves before. If we put that framework in our life, do you see how it'll guard everything else? You won't find yourself waking up that you're just off in left field because you've already put the framework where it's going to maintain. See, the maintenance is so important in so many areas. Anybody can go buy a new car. Anybody can go buy a new electronic device. But after a time, something's going to have to, you know, you're going to have to take care of things. And if you just, so many people will buy new stuff. And in this day and age, it's easy to just buy another new one. But there is a degree of maintenance to certain things. And if we don't maintain it, we're going to find ourselves just, you know, buying a new one before we should. Putting, you know, your body. Unfortunately, our body isn't on autopilot. We got to maintain it. We got to eat certain things. We got to exercise it. And so if we put those structures in place, then we stay at a certain weight. Well, it's the same thing with the heart. If we'll determine the most important thing I can do is put a structure in place so that I maintain my relationship with God so that I put a guard in, I'll never fall in one of those categories where I'll just be cast to the wayside. It'll never happen because I am putting a maintenance structure in place where I'm putting myself before God, I'm putting his word into me, so I'm full of faith and I just stay there. So then I don't have to, there's so many things I won't have to take care of because I'm in front of God's word and he's got an opportunity to speak to me. And so then I'm going to hold on to the word and then I'm going to persevere and then I'm going to bear fruit because I've already made up my mind, this is a priority. If I make other things the priority, there's nothing that's going to maintain my heart like that. And I'm going to find myself where I don't have enough time. I don't have it. I don't know. I used to, but I have to do this now. That we've got to put it in our mind. We know that that is a place that allows my heart to slip. And I don't care who you are, where you're at, what kind of spiritual experience you've had with God. If you don't maintain put God's word first and maintain your relationship and keep your heart right, you can find yourself on the side of the road and wondering how you got there in the ditch. It doesn't matter who are, and unfortunately, you never reach a spiritual place where you don't need to do this on the earth. I don't care who, you can name anybody on the face of the earth, there's nobody that has reached the spiritual level where they don't have to maintain their spiritual walk. Everybody does. Nobody has special genes. It doesn't matter what your last name is. Doesn't matter, you know, how much money you got. Doesn't matter what your social connections are. Nobody's got a corner on this. I mean, even genetically, you could have certain things in your body where it's like, well, just got a good constitution. Somebody doesn't. Spiritually, that doesn't exist. You could have, you know, more connections than other people, or you have more money than other people. In the natural, in the spiritual realm, what you do is what matters. You don't have any special advantage. I don't have any special advantage. You know, it doesn't matter what your vocation, doesn't matter if you're a pastor, doesn't matter if you're a minister, you still have to do this. Everyone, we all have to do it. We all live in this world. Look at John 15, verse 1. It says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit. So we talked about at the beginning, bearing fruit that takes patience, that takes holding on, that takes a good heart. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Why? Because you're abiding in him. Why does that mean? Then you're going to keep your heart. You're going to be receiving the word. It says, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. No, it's God, it glorifies God to bear much fruit, but how are you going to bear fruit? Everything else we were talking about, how you receive the word, if you hold on to the word, if you persevere, that's the way to bear fruit. 30, 60, 100-fold. And we all have control of that. Thank you, Lord. We're going to read this, Colossians 1, verse 3. It says, we give thanks to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you, as it also has in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit as it is among you since the day you heard it and knew the grace of truth. That as the word comes to us, that we have the choice and that we can bear fruit. That same word, you understand, we should understand that the word of God is the same going forth in all parts of the world. We all have the same ability, the same potential as we receive the word of God to bear fruit. Doesn't matter what country we're in, doesn't matter what's going on. That word's going forth, but what happens and what we put, how we put into practice in our life, in our circumstance. See, it's so easy to think if you're in somebody else's circumstance, it would be easy. It's not true. Where we are in our lives, we have the ability, as we hear the word, what we do with it determines what we're going to get for it and how much fruit we're going to produce. That glorifies God. But he put some of it up to us. As we cooperate with him, as we listen to his word and cooperate with him, then he is right there to help us. The thing he wants to do, he's like, if I can get my word into you, if I can get you to believe what I've said, then you can believe me and you can experience everything that I have for you. But the key is you've got to receive it. I've got it here, but the key is if I can't get it into you, if you won't receive it, you can't receive the fruit. You can't bear fruit. But if you will, now I am there working with you. God's working there with us to help us receive, to help us bear fruit. And he will, as we do that, he'll help us to hold. He'll help us to persevere. He'll help us to bear fruit. But the key is we've got to receive so that we have the strength to do all those things. And then he'll work with us, but it's not automatic. But thank God we have control over the part that's in our court. And as we work with him, he's for sure going to do his part. Amen. Always. We don't have to worry about his part because he's faithful. Amen.